Amen. Okay, so my message title is The Seed of Non-Compromise. And believe it or not, this is an encouraging message. So don't worry as you write that down. This message started stirring in my heart right after I preached my last message in January. So that's about 2 months of sitting on this one. So here's to obedience in God. If you want to go back and listen to my message called Joyful Obedience, it's in January. How funny is that? And it laid a foundation for this. If you want to write down some scripture references, I got tons of scripture as always, but this will help you go back and study it. You can write down Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 36. And then Hebrews chapter 6, 7 through 20. We're not going to read it all. It's okay. But these scriptures will also be on the screen in the New Living Translation today. So my question to you guys, and I know what the answer is. This is like a redundant question. Have you ever grown tired of always doing the right thing? You ever just like, really? Seriously? I got to do the right thing again? Take one for the team right here, whether it be for family, friends, in business. And it's tough keeping faith and passion to obey God, especially on the long haul. Anybody in a long haul season right now? I was in a long haul season for a really long time. And I'm moving into a season I want to preach about today, about the... in due season, you will reap, man. I'm just in this season of great thankfulness because I've seen so many answers to prayer in my family's life, in my friend's life, in my own personal life. So this is why it's an encouraging message. So, you know, it's hard to obey God sometimes. And especially if you ever wonder if it's actually going to pay off. Because you look at Facebook, if you're ever in a season of a hard time, don't be on Facebook. In fact, just don't look at your newsfeed. Because I was talking to... someone recently, and we were kind of laughing about sometimes you just got to turn off Facebook because you start comparing yourself to everyone else, and you're making all the sacrifices, you're doing the right thing. I mean, you're taking one for the team, and everybody else is in their new car, big house, big vacations, just had their 25th child naturally. Congratulations! And we're just so tired of waiting for the manifestation of God's promises in our life. And listen, we love the Lord and we know he's faithful, but that season of waiting is hard on the heart. And we're more laboring just to be faithful to what he's called us to do. And sometimes it's just called being a provider. Man, men and women of God that are providing for your families, it is hard work, right? Man, and taking care of your friends and your families and your neighbors. Ministry was going into the whole world as business owners, as employees, Lord, and representing him. It is hard. And sometimes it is plowing hard ground. And when you are stuck in blood, sweat, and tears, knee deep in mud, sowing seeds of obedience and looking, going, seriously? That's it? It's tough. You know, praising God and thanking God as, you know, you're trying to be a faithful and be wise in your finances, believing God to be debt free, believing God to finally own your own home. Amen. Believing God for a very hot, handsome spouse that's 6'5". Glory to God. Thank you. Jesus loves me. Okay. He does. He's got a full head of hair. I prayed about that. I'm not even kidding you. Oh my goodness. You know, healing, growing families. These are all these things that we've been standing for. And sometimes it feels like little to no fruit. In fact, it just feels like we are constantly, you know, just sowing these seeds of obedience. I'm being obedient. I'm being obedient. And waiting. In the midst of these sacrifices, to be obedient to the call, we figured there'd be more, and we're stuck in this season. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, and 10 through 12, and the New Living Translation says this: when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. And you jump ahead to verse 10 after it talks about that thought. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as you have breath, as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. And then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. You know, when our flesh is tired, sometimes, you know, we're called to walk by the Spirit, but come on, I've walked in the flesh. We just kind of forget to hook up. And man, when we're doing it in our own strength, we start to get tired. And when you are physically, mentally, and emotionally tired, we start to compromise in what God's called us to do. Because raise your hand if you've just been exhausted. I hit a wall like 2 weeks ago. I'm planning this wedding in 4 months because I love that hot, handsome man God sent me. I want to get married in 4 months. Are you kidding me? Jeez. And I had like the week-long headache. You ever had a week-long headache for no reason? And like physically, like you're like walking around like the zombie. I'm so exhausted. You know, we can start to compromise in what God's called us to do. What does that even look like? You know, let's be honest. We start to slack off a little bit. We start to cut corners in what God has called us to do. We get a little dull, get a little indifferent to the world falling apart around us. And we start laying our lives down less and less and less out of self-preservation, borderline selfishness, and because loving people is hard. Right? Raise your hand if you found out loving people the way Jesus loved people is hard. Guys, people are messy. Life is messy. And if you're like one of those type A, kind of every duck in a row, perfect little person, yeah, right? Okay, life does not work that way. In fact, you can hole away and not get out in the real world and maybe pretend like your little perfect life is perfect. No. Gosh. Guys, life is full of hurting people. And Jesus was constantly dropping everything to lay his life down for them. But let's be real. Over time, we are all tempted to compromise, especially when we're tired. And it basically looks like slowly lowering God's standard. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. We start to slide in our commitments. Oh, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, we're working really hard. It's summer. You know, we got a boat. I don't really know children's ministry for this summer. I'm sure they'll be fine. The team all work it out. Best team in the world. Given to you. Here's $20 and a gift card. I'm going to go hit the lake this summer. And our interpretation of excellence is an interesting interpretation over time. Sometimes it's just showing up. Look, I made it. Made it. Got to church. Fantastic. High fives. All right. Well, thanks for coming. That's good. So funny, in a society that gives you a trophy for everything in life, we celebrate just showing up on the team. You know, so sometimes we're tired, and financial giving to ministries and to the poor just seems like a bigger and bigger sacrifice, especially when you look on Facebook and everybody's getting a bigger and bigger car, you know, house, vacations. You know, the term good enough in how we do business. I actually had a real big girl job before this job. Worked in marketing and advertising specialties. And man, guys, I went through seasons of compromise. You're tired. You're overworked. You're underpaid. And seriously, it's Monday morning. I feel like checking all my emails for the first 2 hours. Texting my best friend, what happened in the break room? Okay, come on, guys. I'm not judging you. We've been there. We start to lower the bar in dating. For you single people, all the single ladies, yeah, and the men out there. Yeah, sometimes we're just bored. I am just tired of staying in, so they'll do. Click, click, Christian Mingle. All right, that'll work. I'm kind of bored. Okay, but there is a better way. There's the God way. And stay where you're at in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says, instead, you'll follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Guys, we have to determine in our hearts to take a stance of non-compromise to what God has called you to do, to who God has called you to be, to represent Jesus in this world. And guys, when we take a stance of non-compromise. God sees it as a seed. So you know the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. It's kind of common knowledge, and go back and study it out. But the seed is actually the word of God, and Jesus is the word made flesh. And it talks about in that parable that when it's planted in good soil, it means it's planted in a heart of just loving obedience. And when that seed, who's Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, we're planted in obedience, and we walk by the Spirit, and we just start walking with him, that seed grows. So we have to hold on to non-compromise to obey God, because it produces a seed that grows into a bountiful harvest. And we know how bountiful this is, because I was trying to put these apples up here, and Jeremiah Brown, man of God, comes up, because the apples are rolling everywhere, and he's helping me pick them up here. But that seed produces a bountiful harvest. Now, all of you guys have kind of heard a very common message called seed time and harvest, right? And you've heard it in the context of financial prosperity. So I'm going to do a quick review, and we're going to go deeper, because God is so much bigger than just finances, isn't he? Right? All right, so what you sow, what you give, you will receive back multiplied. Now, we sow our time. We sow into relationships. We also sow our finances. So in this spiritual law, in the light of non-compromise, when a person is willing to take a hit, to take a financial loss even, based on a spirit-led decision, based on obedience to God's word, and God said, hey, listen, that opportunity, it's not for you. It's not the right time. God will take that amount that you feel like you've lost, and he'll see it as a seed. And that seed goes into the ground of an obedient, loving heart to God. And in due season, you reap. In due season, God multiplies it back. And you know what's so great about God? You know, sometimes we box him in because we've had this prosperity message just preached to an extreme where it kind of did some damage to the faith message. So I want you to get out of that little box and think bigger. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that in every way you may prosper and enjoy good health as your soul also prospers. So our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. So God's going to sow back in divine appointments, in relationships, in blessings in our family. God, the prodigal son comes home, right? Protecting our kids. Bring your kids godly friends on the playground. How beautiful is that? You can't put a price on that. Protecting our health. So what you refuse to compromise on is a seed to God. Do you know why? Because it cost you something. I want you to think back to every time you've laid your life on the altar as a living sacrifice. It cost you something. And David said in Psalms, actually it was in Chronicles, he said, I will not sacrifice to God something that didn't cost me nothing. And it talks about in Romans about being a living sacrifice. So whether you're looking at a lucrative opportunity or just plain fun, maybe somebody invites you to go to their lake house for free for the weekend, but it's the same weekend that God's been stirring on your heart to go to a conference. Or maybe it's the weekend of a big event here at YCF or another church or organization, and God says, I need you to serve. Or maybe you have a friend or family member that had asked you that weekend. Hey, listen, maybe they broke their leg. Hey, can you help me get the lawn ready for spring? And you said yes, but wait, I just had a lucrative fun offer to go to a lake house for a whole weekend. Ah, it'll be fine. Ah, you know, we've all been there, right? Whatever. I love the lake. It's so much fun. So sometimes we compromise to God's best in our life. Sometimes we compromise to the higher call. Sometimes we're just compromising our word because we're tired. We just want to have a little fun. But when we make that sacrifice, it's a seed to God. And these spirit-led decisions and sacrifices, they sometimes cost us greatly, right? Time, money, relationships, friendships, reputation. Man, when God started calling me into the ministry, and when I say ministry, I was working a full-time job, and I was sowing into the youth ministry at that church. It was a 4,000-member church, senior high youth group of 250. Junior high of 300, church plan of 150 kids. It was like eat, sleep, breathe teens. And man, there were some job opportunities at better jobs that paid more but would require more. And I kept having this check. Nope. Nope. Stay there. Make $10,000 less a year than what you were qualified for. Because I have something greater for you. I need you to make this sacrifice. I need you to give your life. I need you to keep sowing. Man, it cost me friends because let me tell you, you can't go out to certain places when you're on the big projector screen at your church doing the announcements and the offering, can you? Because you'll run into teen parents at those certain watering holes. Let me just tell you, that's awkward. We'll leave it at that. Sometimes it'll cost you a prestigious education or job. Maybe God says, listen, I know you got that scholarship to, you know, big Ivy League school, but I need you to stay home. Go to York College or, you know, hack. And listen, I need you to lay your life down for your mom. She needs you right now. Whatever it may be, sometimes we feel like we're taking step backs to obey God, whether it be a career move. I'll just speak for myself. You know, delaying, how do you want to say this nicely? We've all made sacrifices. This isn't about me, but I don't want to preach at you. You know, being obedient to God, delaying marriage, broken engagements, they are not fun. I do not wish them on anyone. Especially in that amount of time when my friends just popped out like three kids, like that. You know, moving back to York was not the top of my list. Staying in York was definitely not my list. I swore I would never do it. I get it. And these living sacrifices that we make, they seem like an emotional loss sometimes. You know, it's not all about the money. It's about the things that we do to obey the call of God on our life. And if these losses are a result of being obedient to God, the loss is not a loss. It's a seed. It's sowing. No strings attached. When Jesus sowed the word, wherever it went, good ground, bad ground, didn't matter. Laying your life down for people that spit in your face, stab you in the back, leave you high and dry, does not matter. It's precious seed of sacrifice to God. And what does God do with it? Go to Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, let us not get tired, weary, discouraged. Been there for years of my life. Like, build a tent, camp out. I have been there. Tired of doing good. And it's not about doing good works. It's just about doing what God's called you to do. And it may just be a light in the business God's called you to work at. And I know people's stories, I won't, but you might have a supervisor that shreds you, cuts you down, tells you you're not good enough, talks about you behind your back, finds ways to manipulate you so you don't get a bonus that year. It is tough, certain seasons in our life. But it says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings. Harvest of blessings. There's a plug. Harvest of blessings if we don't give up. I like the New King James. It says, if you don't lose heart. I run into weary, discouraged Christians and pastors these days. All the time. Man, and they're quitting. I meet so many pastors, it's just like they're at the brink. And it's disheartening. But if you don't quit, you always win with God. And it sounds like a catchphrase, but listen, I've lived it. I believe it. I'd wear the t-shirt. I'd do the billboard. It actually really works. If you don't quit on them. Romans 8, verse 37. Now, it's in the context, we're not going to read it, of Paul listing all these really horrible things that could possibly happen to you. Life is hard. And he says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. New King James says, we are more than conquerors. If you look that up in the original Greek, which we don't have time to do, it just means absolute overflowing. Like, I mean, just the apples are just flowing everywhere, gushing out in victory in Christ Jesus, because our God is faithful. And that's the reason why we as a people have to have a stance of no compromise. We need spiritual backbone. We need true grit and grace because life is messy. Life is hard and it's not all about me. Amen. And if your life is just all about building your house, building your kingdom, you may have lost Christ in the midst of it. He didn't bail on you. You just kind of lost his heart. But I'm tired. Well, yeah, our flesh gets tired. That's why we got to walk in the Spirit. Stay in your grace. We have to have this stance in your heart of non-compromise. Because without it, these decisions get really tough. And we start to waver. Because remember this, what you compromise to keep, you'll lose in the end. What you compromise to keep, you will lose in the end. So do not sell out just because someone doesn't get you. Mark 8, verse 36 says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What's the point gaining acceptance with people or even in business if you lose yourself in the midst of it? Okay, I broke the mold a long time ago on what a woman pastor is going to be like, look like, talk like. I am ridiculous. I wear, like, it looks like rainbows threw up when I wear an outfit. Like, that's just who I am. I'm over the top. I'm embarrassing. My sister goes, I can't take you anywhere. It's just who God created me to be. Right? And if I would start to sell out and compromise, man, I'd lose myself. I'd be miserable. And I faced it when I almost married the wrong person. I would have to be something that I was not. It was the toughest choice I ever made, actually. You know, every person in here is unique. Every person here has a unique calling, a unique gifting, a unique way that God is sending you forth and sowing your life into someone else. And you got to be very careful that you don't start comparing yourself with someone else to fit the world's standard, the world's mold. Or how about this one, the religious mold? Because you'll lose yourself and you'll get weird. Okay? And you will forfeit authentic fruit. You may look like you got it all together on the outside, but it's just plastic, fake it till you make it kind of stuff. Be who you are called to be. So how does compromise happen? Because come on, I've been in places of compromise. It's because we forget who we really are in Christ. Because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you remember that you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you remember that in 1 John 4:17, it says, as God is, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect because we live like Jesus in this world. I like the old-fashioned way of saying, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. In this world. We are Christ's ambassadors to a dark world. And we start compromising who God has called you to be and your unique nature and your crazy break the mold kind of way of doing life. When we start compromising, you kind of step back from being a sent one. We forget who we are. All right, so let's talk about Ambassador, aka Christian businessman Bill. He happens to own a printing company. You guys ready for a story? Let's just take it a little bit away from my life and everybody else's. Okay, so Ambassador, aka Christian businessman Bill. He owns a printing press. Now, his business decisions are also ministry decisions. Why? Because the God's hand on his life that sent him into business as an ambassador, the reason he's increasing his business, the reason he would be prospering him, the reason he would be giving him influence in the Businessmen's Association of York County is to gain him glory. It's got a kingdom-minded way of being attached to being an ambassador, right? It's a kingdom-minded thing attached to it. So God takes his seed of all his finances he sowed into that business God has called him to run. God takes the seed of the time and the relationships he's built to shine for Jesus within his organization and within the businesses and within his community. And that seed God causes to prosper and reach the lost. Not only in just the obvious, like giving towards missions, whether it be local or abroad. It could also be just, you know, God's given him enough to reach out to some local moms, local like single moms where they're struggling. Just be able to provide groceries, help a teen get a car, whatever it may be. Because he's going to shine with the character and nature of Christ in that world. Because he's salt and light. But what if someone comes to Bill and offers him the deal of a lifetime? Very lucrative offer. I will pay you $1 million a year to print some stuff for my business. Bill's like, that is awesome. Best thing that ever walked through this door. Thank you, Jesus. So what kind of stuff are we printing? Oh, you know, just some adult magazines, some soft porn. Oh my gosh, you said porn in church. Give me a P. O-R-N. I said it in church. And Bill's like, what did I ask? Seriously. Oh my gosh. Okay. So what is Bill going to do? And you're like, oh, that's really simple. Come on. It's obvious. Really? Because you know what? The bills are piling up. Second mortgage. The wife is having tons of kids and she needs a new house. We don't fit. Honey. And Bill's just like, I just want to go on a vacation. Seriously. And how are we going to send all these kids to college? So if you haven't already made that decision of non-compromise in your heart, you are going to set yourself up for a fall. Because we start making excuses and we start reasoning in our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. And God needs you to make those decisions in the spirit, not in your circumstances. Because you can reason your way into anything, right? And you know, Satan is really happy to twist scripture. He's good at that. Do you remember the temptation of Christ? He'd actually quote scripture at him. Well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Yes! $1 million. God is really not going to honor you printing pornography. It's not going to really bless your business. Now, I know I'm using an extreme example, but sometimes you need to do an extreme to laugh about it. Because it is what it is. But guys, we get business offers. And like I said, I worked in business for years. We get these things. Josh had one time, he was actually working as a stockbroker. And his supervisor asked him to do the expense reports. And what he found out really quick, because my fiance is a very smart man, is the money that was supposed to be going certain places was going other places. And he basically wanted to cook the books. And he went to him and he said, hey, sir, listen, if I could do something else, if you could have someone else do that, that would be great. He like tried to do it the nicest way possible. He didn't come and preach at him. And the man actually set him up to fail and is like gave him more work than he could get done. It was like impossible, long story. And he ended up being let go. Why? Non-compromise. Sometimes it will cost you. So God can't honor compromise to his word or to the call of God on your life. He can't prosper it. It is what it is. So if you're not already built up in the word, walking closely in the spirit, it is so much harder to make these decisions of non-compromise. And if you haven't already made this vow, you will start to waver in things like voting biblically in elections. That's all I'm going to say about that. We will be tempted to check certain boxes on our tax forms that we don't qualify for. It's called cheating. It's called stealing. We'll start compromising on what sexual purity actually looks like. Start compromising on who we date, who we're yoked in, what kind of friendships that we allow to start pulling us down. So how do we keep on track and hold to non-compromised stance? What kind of internal resolve do we need to finish strong in order to not grow weary in doing good so we will reap the harvest of his blessing? We have to make a commitment empowered by the grace and love of God that, number one, God's word is exactly that. God's word is his word. It's the final authority. He said it. That settles it. No ifs, no ands, no buts. You want to know how we get some really wacky theology out there? Because people start adding and subtracting from the word of God, taking things out of context, adding their experiences in there. Which actually brings me to my next one. Number two. So first one, God's word is God's word. Final authority. Number two, no matter what, I will not water down the word of God. Amen. To suit my comfort level or my experiences. I can't explain it. My dad died of cancer and it was ugly. It was not one of those, you know, like we got a bad report and he died 2 days later. It was ugly. And I'm called to pray for the sick. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't got all the answers, but I'll tell you what, I still pray for the sick because Jesus heals. And it's hard. God's going to call you to do certain things, and it might not fit in the current world culture. So what? Number three, always obey the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even when it's inconvenient, because it always is, let's be real. Even when it hurts, even when it costs. And you know, sometimes God's going to ask you to do something that costs you financially. And as soon as he does, you're like, but that money was for... I had to find out what like the best TV was out there. I read too many books. It's a new 4K high definition TV. Nevin like educated me in the world of high-end televisions. Okay, so we think that. Seriously, I was actually at a worship service and they took an offering and I heard the Lord say give. I was like, okay. I was like, but I have a wedding to pay for. $2. No, when he told me to do something with an extra, you know, with zero on there and stuff, you know, I was like, awesome, more zeros. Fantastic. Fantastic. Are you sure? God's always going to tell you the bigger number. Just being honest. It was a little hard to do, but you know, it's always best to be obedient. But I'm not going to send a grubby teen to camp. Those ungrateful teenagers, whatever. Okay. And maybe it's just paying for the groceries of the person in front of you. Because the most heart-wrenching thing is to see a mom holding on to a bunch of little kids. And those kids, you can tell, don't come from a money background. And all of a sudden, she didn't have enough cash to pay for her groceries. And she's, sorry, I've seen that. And they like have to start putting things back. And I came from a family that at seasons it was tight, but we always had enough. It's in those moments that you just give that lady whatever cash you have. And you just tell her, God loves her.
Put it on your credit card.
Shoot. You get airline miles, right? Why not? Sorry, it just, you know, like I work with teens and a lot of these come from really rough homes. And those little things preach the gospel. Yeah. See, there's my crying. Whatever. Okay. So how do we know we're not compromising to the call of God? Because listen, I prayed that no one would get this all twisted in their head. So don't be start thinking, trying to figure out who's compromising next to you. Am I compromising? Here's the answer. Okay. You'll know you're making the right decision for God's best because the Holy Spirit of grace is going to help you every day. Every day when we're hooked up with him, we are grace empowered in his presence to do what we're called to do. And clarity comes. So 1 Peter 1 verse 3 in the New Living, I love it. It says, by his divine power, grace empowerment, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And we have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself. By means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So when we walk in the Spirit, you walk naturally into his perfect will for your life. So listen, I used to get, you know, those analytical people that get everything all twisted and it gets dark and twisty and sad up in your brain. Guess who? Without Jesus, that's how they're wired. This person. I laugh and I joke, but let me tell you, when I'm not walking in the Spirit, it gets dark, twisty, really depressing, analytical, cynical, judgmental, and critical. And that's disgusting up there. So I stay out of that little dark, creepy, like unrenewed mind place of the old me that has died and is in the grave. And every time it starts kind of creeping up like a zombie, you get the shovel and you crack it in the head and get it back in there. That's called renewing your mind every day in God's word. Just stay in there. You stink. You're ugly. So much better out of the grave, right? Come on. We're a new creature. So don't let Satan kind of twist this up here. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you are walking in intimate fellowship, you're in his word, you're worshiping God with your whole heart, whatever that looks like to you, okay? When you're staying divinely connected to him, you will walk naturally into God's perfect plan for your life. Galatians 5:16, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Walk by the Spirit. Suddenly, complicated decisions get really, really simple. Why? Because you're not ruled by your soul, the dark and twisty zombie place, your mind, your will, your emotions. You are making decisions out of your spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you in perfect peace. And the counsel of the Holy Spirit, you can always be confident in. Why? Because in the long run, no matter how much obedience costs you, when you are making that decision, when you're making that decision, it is a sacrifice to God for his perfect will in your life. And it will always lead to blessing and prosperity in every area of your life. It just always will. Anything done in loving faith obedience, it's counted as seed to God. All right, so let's do this one. Okay. What if someone takes advantage of you for being obedient? Welcome to life and ministry. Yeah, and if you are going to have strong character in the workplace, you're going to take some for the team for the Jesus, aren't you? Man, because they don't like you because you make them look bad. I actually had a teenager that they cornered her in class and said, "You smile too much. Stop. Knock it off. It's weird." And the whole class teamed up against her because she was just shining because God has just done great things in her life. All right, what happens when a friend or a business partner stabs you in the back, sets you up, steals your job and your girlfriend, just like a country song? Dung, 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 dung. Okay. You know, I mean, you're living it. All right. So they hit you where it hurts. Why? Because you're the nice guy. Because you're just going to take it, aren't you? Turn the other cheek. Man, and there's that, like, come on, the unrenewed zombies wants to come out and, like, eat them alive. There's that, like, thing in me that I have to get the shovel and whack it over the head because you just want to go carry Underwood on them and just key their car. Or better yet, go find a lawyer. What? Ooh, that hurt. Jeez. Okay. I'm backing off. All right, whatever. All right. Okay, when we make the God decision, God will always pay back, right? And I'll tell you, when I went through a season of just sacrifice and some tough times with people, I would read Isaiah 61 over me almost every day till I believed it. And one of these parts in here, it says verses 7-8, it says, "Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in the land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them." Why? Because the king's kids walking in victory, walking in blessing, give him glory. God doesn't get glory when you're a doormat your entire life and you don't see God's faithfulness. Sometimes you got to remember what his will is and what his character and his nature is. In verse 11 in Isaiah 61, it says, "For as the soil makes the spout come up," could be sprout, typo, "and a garden, it causes the seeds to grow. So the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. He will multiply the seeds of non-compromise in your life so you will flourish in life." And the very end of Isaiah 61, it rolls into this whole, you know, God's vindication. Isaiah 62 verse 1 says, "For Zion's sake," that's us, the church, "for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn. And her salvation is like a blazing torch." Vindication. You're like, what does that even mean? Well, according to vocabulary.com, vindication is a sweet thing. When you get vindication, you've been proven right or justified in doing something. Everyone who has been wrongly accused and treated unfairly craves it. God is our vindication. That's what the word says. And Romans 8:28 says, "I will make all things work together, no matter how bad it is, no matter how hard of a hit, no matter how deep they cut you, I will make all things work together for you and your family." Sacrifices can be hard on the heart. I hear people, you know, I run into wallowing Christians too. I was one at one point. Okay. And you always hear them quote this. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." People get stuck on the first part. Can we focus on the last part? Okay. Don't lose heart and confidence in God's perfect timing, because it takes some time for those seeds to grow, right? We put our hope in God. And these little dinky seeds that we're throwing out in faithfulness to obey what God has called us to do, we start looking. Nothing's happening. It's not working. Well, God does say, read scripture, guys. It takes some time. Let's talk about Abraham in a minute, okay? And in due season, come on. Give that tree some time to grow and grow some fruit on it. And there is a bountiful harvest. So guard your heart from impatience and frustration. And let me tell you, I went through a year. Ask mom. I was really hard to live with. When I got out of it, I would apologize a lot. It's like, I am so sorry. I was just impatient and frustrated and grumbling. I'm so frustrated. I mean, like, seriously, embarrassing. I am embarrassed about myself, okay? Okay, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It is the wellspring. You ever heard the term poison the well? Your impatience and your frustration will affect your seed and just delay the fruit. Been there. Was that person. Those bad attitudes, man. You ever seen a kindergartner do the bean plant thing? I had to do the bean plant thing 3 times. I don't know what was up. Not green thumb. Did not inherit that from my grandmother. She can make anything grow. Okay, this thing didn't happen here. So I'd have the bean plant, and I would look, and everybody else's bean plant was like rocking on, you know, this tall, this green, but like beans on it. And mine was like, nothing. So you get the kindergarten, they like go and they grab it and they pull it up. What's going on? Don't know what's going on down here. Shove it back in there. Bean plant. Everybody else's bean plant's working out. Next week. I don't know what's wrong in this, but there's roots. There's nothing going on. Just shove it in. This is a bad soil. This. Everybody else's bean plant's working. God is growing and doing a work you can't see, right? Come on. So we're going to have to keep in faith, speak faith, see faith, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And if that frustration and that irritation is just going to mess with your fruit. And let me tell you this, Satan likes to twist the view of sacrifices. Now, I personally battled with this. I had to take about a year after a breakup to confess God's character and nature in my life, because Satan was trying to tell me that that loss, that thing I had sacrificed, that relationship, was a permanent loss. I had to take captive every thought that I was going to spend the rest of my days single, loving Jesus. And not that that's not awesome, but it's not awesome, okay? Okay. Okay, I'm just being honest. Like, I, like, filtered so many jokes right there. You're welcome, okay? So, God wants to, Satan wants to steal our trust and our faith and our confidence in God coming through in this lifetime. I'm so tired of people saying, oh, your reward is just great in heaven. How is that helping me now? Oh, your mansion just gonna be huge. You working with them teens, they're single. Will you just shut up, okay? I don't want a mansion. I just want like a mortgage and a house and an adult life, okay? I just want a date. All right. So I had to read Psalms 27. I'm laughing. We're laughing. But it's hard in the moment. Psalms 27, 13 through 14 says, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have despaired. I would have been stuck in depression. I'd be on more pills than you can count and therapy every week, and I can't afford it. I'm a youth pastor. So good thing we didn't get stuck there. It says, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land, this lifetime, in the land of the living. So wait for, oh gosh, we're getting back to waiting. Seriously. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. That's called faith. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord, because his faithfulness and his blessing is for this lifetime, because he is so good. He is so faithful, and I have seen his faithfulness. And I will say this, I know your sacrifices because you're my family, and I know many of your stories, and I know what you have given up to obey God. I know what you have sacrificed to pour and pour and pour when you got nothing in your own self left to give, and all you got is God's grace. I've seen you be faithful in circumstances that were excruciating, when people were taking advantage of you, hurting you, stabbing you in the back, spit in your face, and leaving you high and dry. But God is faithful in this lifetime. So Hebrews 10, 35 through 36, I'm giving you all the scriptures I was reading every day for a year. It says this, do not throw away your confidence in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings to you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that he has promised. All that he has promised. All that he has promised. All. all that he has promised, an abundant, overflowing harvest of blessing in every area of your life, every area. So how do we hold on to that promise and kick heart sickness? I'm not going to raise hands, but I know some of you guys have been fighting heart sickness of delay. So we're going to look at Abraham because, man, that man knew what was going on. Hebrews chapter 6, 13 through 20. Abraham fought the fight of faith to hold on to God's promise for a son. But you know what? God's like, you want a son? Let me tell you, I'm going to give you a little bit more. Hebrews 6, 13 through 20. I'm not going to read it all. It says, God made the promise to Abraham, surely I will bless you and surely I will multiply you. Those seeds of obedience. So having patiently waited, he realized the promise and the miraculous birth of Isaac as a pledge of what was to come from God. Abraham knew sacrifice. God called Abraham to move and leave everything and everyone he held dear. Financial security. And listen, if they didn't like you back then, it wasn't even about the color of your skin. They just didn't know you. They killed you. Risked everything to be obedient, to go to the promised land. And wait for that son. An active waiting faith. Verse 17, it says, in the same way, God, in his desire to show the heirs, that's us, the heirs of the promise, children of Abraham, the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened and guaranteed it with an oath. We have to have faith in the true character and nature of God. God is a giver. He's not a withholder. He's not like Scrooge, the almighty Scrooge up in heaven. He is a giver. I had to tell myself, I'm telling you, I'm reading you the scriptures that I confessed and prayed and got that like zombie in the grave with. Psalms 84 verse 11, it says, the Lord will withhold no good thing. I'd say it over and over. God, you withhold no good thing. God, you withhold no good thing. Every sacrifice I've ever made, I do it in loving obedience to you. You will not withhold your faithfulness. You will not withhold your promises. God is a good, good father. When you ask for an egg, he doesn't give you a stone. What does that mean? When you ask for his provision. When you ask for good things that daddies give. Daddies love to bless their kids. He's not going to give you something bad to teach you something. That's not a good, good father, is it? He's not cruelly baiting you with a little carrot stick. Well, everybody else's house on Facebook's getting bigger. Everybody else is getting a spouse. Everybody else is having their 50th kid. You know, everybody else just launched their business, launched a brand new ministry, moving their ministry to Hawaii. How did I not get that sacrifice, huh? Jeez. He's not baiting you with little things. He's not making you jump through hoops to get it. That's not a good father. So how do we hold on strong? Verse 18, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. Who we have fled to him for refuge, we would have strong encouragement, indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. We soak up his grace and his strength in the presence of God. Philippians chapter 3 says, my determined purpose is to be found in him. That's where we receive strength. That's where we find fullness of joy. That's where we find peace. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our fortress. He's the God in whom we trust. He is the glory and the lifter of our head. Verse 19, this hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of our soul. Study this in the Amplified. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells, where Jesus is entered as the forerunner for us. Jesus was the Word made flesh. When we get built up in the Word, when we get built up in him, our redeemed, bought back imagination stops imagining the worst things and all the stuff. All of a sudden, our redeemed, bought back imagination starts lining up with God's word. And we start to see what he sees. And the strong hope, what is hope? Hope is this deep internal knowing that God has got you. starts rising up, and it's an anchor. We think hope's some little dinky thing. I've heard people preach against it. A bunch of goofballs don't read their Bible. Hope is a strong thing, and it doesn't break, and it doesn't slip, and it becomes the anchor of our soul. And then when you start getting in God's word and you start seeing what he has called you to do, you start walking closely with him, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And faith-filled words is the heavenly substance that those pictures are created from and brought into reality. So allow God's word to reshape the image inside you. And I have gone through years of wavering and frustration and just, why? When is this ever going to pan out, God? Is this going to happen like this forever? And I had to fight every thought that went through my mind. My God is faithful. He is a giver. He is not a withholder. And in due season, in the perfect timing, all those promises, the harvest of blessings in your life, body, mind, spirit, relationship, we will reap. And when you get that really clear picture in your heart, you can't see anything except God's best for your life. And suddenly, we won't settle to compromise. Suddenly, that counterfeit Ishmael is just so bleh. Mr. Almost Right, really? Nah, we're good. Good enough is the enemy to greatness in God, though. So don't settle for just good enough. Because when you start bending the call of God in your life, when you start bending what you know he is tugging in your heart to do in life, in business, in your family, wherever he's calling you to go and be sent forth, uncharted territory, just like Abraham. If you start bending that, you will forfeit the destiny on your life. Because let me tell you something about the enemy. He starts working on you real hard when the promises and the blessings and the faithfulness of God is just around the river bend. Almost saying it. You're welcome. So I'm going to end here. But God is just and he is faithful to the seeds of obedience and living sacrifice you have made your life to be. And in due season, in the perfect time, in God's best, you will reap an abundant harvest because he is so good. He is a good dad. I have lived this message out with blood, sweat, and tears. And for my family and friends that have held my hand in the midst of some of the hardest seasons of my life, fighting to remember what I am fighting for. Thank you. Thank you for not letting me quit. Thank you for not letting me run away. Because God is so faithful, and I am in a season of God's faithfulness and blessing and harvest. Man, God launched me into ministry kicking and screaming. Ugh, did not want to do that. Single. He launched me out of the four walls of this church, like speaking at conferences, wanting to like throw up right beforehand. I was like, oh God. And then he shows up and God's been so good in that area. God sent me a man from halfway across the United States that is handsome and he's hunky and he's huge and he has a full set of hair. It's great. And he's a man of God, loves the word, love, man of prayer, loves to pray, loves people. Man, God is faithful. And God is providing for all the ridiculous things that you don't think he's ever going to have a way to provide for. Man, every day God is daily providing for the desires of my heart, a place to live, a wedding. Like, it's just nuts how good and how faithful God is. And so if everybody could just stand up, I just want everyone to just get our mind and our eyes not on the sacrifice that we made, but on the faithfulness of God, because in due season, in the perfect timing, you will reap. And some of you guys need to start renewing your mind to the character and nature of God so Satan doesn't steal any more time and any more fruit in your life. So Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. You are so good to us. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for uprooting compromise in our life. God, and if there's any area in our life that we have selfishly just put ourselves before the call of God in our life, if we have just selfishly decided that we wanted to do things because it felt a little easier at the time, we confess it as sin right now. Lord God, weariness is not of you. Lord God, we give that to you. We thank you for renewed strength, renewed grace to do and be your ambassador here, to represent you. We love you, Jesus, so much. And I thank you for your grace to finish strong.
We thank you. You've given us the grace to love people with your love to our last breath when we wake up on the other side. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys are lovingly dismissed. You can hang, you can fellowship, and the altars, grab some coffee. The altars are open. In fact, I'm going to ask the